It's Tuesday, 17 January, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Aloha, everyone. Welcome to the show. We got a great one for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and for all of our long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being part of the family and staying subscribed. And for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there, and to include checking out the old podcast via the podcast link and subscribe to our newsletter via the second link or the second column on our website. You know, this is, you guys are going to get a kick out of this. This is take two of the Geek News Central podcast tonight. I got started about 9:30, and everything was going great. I was at about the 38-minute mark of recording. Everything was going great, and the lights went out. Well, I thought, okay, I'm cool. Everything's hooked up to the UPS, and I looked down underneath the desk, and because the monitor went out, and we looked underneath the desk, and there was no blue light on the recording machine. I'm like, oh, you're not kidding. This is not happening. And the other two computers were on, but the podcast recording machine was not. So for some reason, unbeknownst to me, some wires got switched around, and my PC wasn't on the ups. I could have cried. I thought, oh my gosh, 38 minutes of commentary flushed. So this ought to be a really great show. You know why? Because I've got lots of practice. there was some non-pod safe words being said. The part was only out for like 2 minutes, but oh man. You know, and what's funny is I have the secondary, the backup device recording too, but I don't have any batteries in it. So it was on a, on power. And when it quit, it didn't save to the, it didn't cycle to the disc. So that got lost too. So I'm like, I need some batteries for this thing in case we lose the juice again. And, so my wife was, scurrying around here for candles for a few minutes, and I was just standing here and in disbelief, but yeah, I know that's what happens. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. And I'm sure you got a good laugh out of that because I didn't. So it's now 10:45, and the show should be in the can by now, but we're just starting up. So here we go. All right. Hey, I had a great weekend. I hope everyone did too. I had a 3-day weekend, had some time off, and we're ready to go back to the grind in the morning, and I'm sure everyone will have a full slate of work to do. I know that I will, but I spent the weekend working on tech stuff and spending away from blogging and from the computer, and wow, it was a good weekend, though. It really, really was. And today I was back on the PC taking care of business and putting out some announcements, and got all the 1099 miscellaneous forms put together for the crew over at techpodcast.com, all the guys over there that have made a little bit of money this year off of advertising and podcasting, and that's went well. And I did get some news on Friday from my publisher. I'm very, very happy to announce that Podcasting and Do-It-Yourself Guide continues to sell very, very well. And I want to thank all of you out there for making that happen. And, of course, the article in the New York Times and the Amazon Editor's Choice Award have definitely helped drive some sales, too. But it continues to be the best-selling podcasting book out there. And, you know, I was talking with the editor And some people at one of the meetings, we were at a Consumer Electronics Show, and they said, well, do you think it's ready for revision 2? And I had basically said, well, you know, we need to see about 25 to 30% change of the podcasting space before we can do that. And the way I wrote the book, really, we haven't gotten to that point yet. The only thing we're really missing out of the book is some information on iTunes, so which would probably cover a chapter, maybe two, depending if I got into the video casting portion of it or enhanced podcast. But we'll look at it. We'll see what's going to happen. And obviously, I probably won't be able to say if I ever do a revision, but expect it to be looked at here next year. We'll see how it goes. And I did get asked to kind of think about doing another project, but I haven't decided whether or not I want to do it yet. And I got to put a little more thought to it and think of it. It'd be a great, great book, but got to think about whether I've got the time to put into it and do a great job. I did get a voicemail from one of the a contributing editors over at Geek News Central, who said that she's been unpacking a bunch of Dell computers, and when they do boot up, that they are brought to a Google/Dell homepage. So that rumor has been confirmed now, that Dell has definitely made some deals with Google. So when you have a new Dell computer and load them up, you're going to find that they're going to, Internet Explorer will default to a Google homepage. So we'll see. It's going to be kind of cool. All right, what else do we have? Oh, man, I got some great feedback from listeners and on my Mac commentary on the last show. And I am happy to say that the positives to negatives run about 90 to 1. And I'm going to play one of the negative comments was on the website, basically calling me out saying, Todd, why don't you compare hardware to find out if the $2,000 PC that you would spend for Apple, if you can get the same value in a desktop or in another a Windows-based PC. And, you know, quite honestly, you can. You can get a much better value for your money buying a Windows box. Obviously, you're buying style and design with a Mac, and including all this great stuff that has on board. But there's I got called out. People are saying, you're still bashing Macs. And let me play, let's take care of a little business first, and then I'll play this audio comment, and we'll let you guys decide. Okay, GoDaddy.com hosting plans are now more than powerful than ever. Best of all, plans start at just $3.95 a month, and no matter what plan you choose, your site receives 24/7 maintenance and protection in the GoDaddy.com world-class data center. And here's an added benefit, too. As a Geek News Central listener, enter the code, and this is a new one, COMSALE, that's COMSALE, when you check out and get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. So if you know, here's the skinny, folks. If you're going to get a hosting account, use the listener code Todd, T-O-D-D. That'll get you 10%. And if you want to buy a .com to go with it, do a separate order and get it for $6.95 a year versus their regular $8.95 price. So check out GoDaddy.com. Thanks for being a sponsor here. And as all of you also know, we'll have our next Tech Podcast Live Roundtable on January 28th. And that's using the world-class web-based GoToMeeting application. And so that you have web-based meetings very easily over the internet. And what I like about it, of course, using it with a roundtable is we have multiple people in multiple areas. We can hand off desktops. They can do their parts of the presentation. We can highlight stuff, underline it, use a highlighter, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. And Cordis, 128-bit encryption, too, with that application. It is Windows-based, but you can get your free 30-day trial at gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable. No credit required, but you get a 30-day free trial. Again, gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable. All right, let's play. Let's see here. I don't have added here because I'm still recovering from the power outage. And let's go ahead and add this feedback. And this came from Kevin Crossman. I'll probably interject partway through, but it's a 2-minute, 40-second feedback on my supposed Mac bashing. So here we go.
Hi, Todd. This is Kevin Crossman from the Frat Pack Podcast at fratpackpodcast.com. I just wanted to give you a little bit of feedback on some comments you made on your most recent show, both to raise your awareness and also to challenge you a little bit on some of your beliefs and to maybe give you some feedback on some of the other feedback people are giving to you. So here we go.
And I kept getting some comments saying, you just hate apples. You just hate apples. Let's put this right on the line very, very right now. Todd does not hate apples, okay? He really, really doesn't.
Really, Todd? Are you sure you don't hate apple? Because on the very same show, you said this.
I'm like, well, why would you want to if you love OS X so much? Why would you ever desecrate your machine and put Windows on it? Yeah, see, there's a little oxymoron there, so we'll see what happens. All right.
Kevin, how does that make me a Mac hater by saying why would people put Windows on their Mac systems? Yes, they can. They're going to be able to with this new Intel-based chips, but why would they want... Why does that make me a Mac hater by that comment? I guess I don't get it, to be honest with you, but let's continue with your comments.
So, Todd, you want to know why Mac people think you're a little biased? Well, comments like that. It's clear you have a bias against the Mac, and you know what? There's really nothing particularly wrong with it. You know, it's okay if you prefer Windows over Mac. On the other hand...
I think a computer's a computer's a computer's a computer.
It is.
Most people use their computers for editing pictures.
They do.
Doing some movie editing, maybe.
They do.
Surfing the net, writing Word documents, financial work. You know, there's probably a top 4 or 5 things people do with a computer. And guess what? A PC will perform those functions just as well as a Mac will.
Sure will.
Now, Todd, are you really saying that Mac and Windows perform the tasks that you mentioned with equal ability?
Yes.
Are you saying that the virus-filled, spyware-filled Internet Explorer browser is a just as equal experience as someone who's on a Mac using a browser like Safari? Are you
really? What does that have to, Kevin? What does that have to do with doing editing photos, video? That has nothing to do with it. I'm straight up. I've always been an equal opportunity a criticizer on Internet Explorer and having issues with viruses and stuff. I've been straight up with that. There's nothing that I have. I've never really went against and said that the Windows was the superior machine. I've never said that. I've always said a computer's a computer's a computer, and that they both have their issues. Obviously, Apple just patched QuickTime for a security vulnerability, so the Apple operating system and those applications on it are not immune either, even though they are much more well-shielded, obviously a lower user base. So they don't get as much attention. But again, that's kind of my opinion on that. Now I'll let you play the rest of your comment here.
Are you really saying that the tools to make your own movies are as good as the ones that are built into every Macintosh?
Sure.
I really don't think that the tools that are built into Windows as an out-of-the-box experience can in any way, shape, or form come close to the experience that you get with the Macintosh operating system and the iLife components that are built into and available on every new Macintosh for free.
Free? iLife for free on a Mac? Who did you get yours from? I paid $79.95 for iLife 05. Matter of fact, maybe $99.95 for iLife 05 when I bought my Mini. It didn't come packaged on my Mac. That was not free. And I just paid $79 for iLife 06 upgrade. So I don't know about free.
Now, I think Windows has a lot of benefits for other reasons. And it's okay if you prefer Windows to Mac. But please don't say that you think that they're both equally fine when it's clear you have a bias.
I don't have a bias. I've just said that what people generally use computers for surfing the internet, editing photos, doing video, doing some... financial stuff, writing Word documents, or a document, whatever it may be on, whatever application. That's what they do with their computers. They do a little gaming. Obviously, Windows is a much superior gaming machine because you can't find games for Macs hardly anymore. So, come on. You know, a computer's a computer's a computer. And they're generally used equally well. Okay? Both of them function very well. They function the same. I've got... people have sent me emails that said, hey, I'm not using a Mac anymore just because I
basically figured out the same thing. So I'm not a Mac basher. My bias, obviously, I have more Windows machines in my house than I do Mac machines. And I have used my Mac on a regular basis. So I feel I'm qualified to say that. Obviously, I'm not taking a Mac with me to work, because my work doesn't have Macs, they have Windows machines. So, you know, I think that's probably what the rest of 90% or 95% of the rest of the world is exposed to. And they're doing just fine creating. My wife creates videos on our Windows machines with no extra applications. She has, takes video from our video camera, plugs it in to the video stuff, imports it, and creates videos, burns it to a DVD. Hey, does a fine job for me. Does a fine job for her. So, and she's not a computer user. So, I don't buy into this, rhetoric that, you know, these, that Macs are superior on video and, picture editing. They sure they got cool tools, but so does Windows. You know, they really do. You gotta see what came preloaded on my Windows Media Center. Came preloaded with a huge number of applications. And, a lot more than my Mini came preloaded with, that's for sure. Okay, let's continue on. I got round two here, and let's continue on with commentary on stuff. I've got my glass of iced tea, and I'm feeling much better from last week, so I thank all of you for sending your comments on Get Well. Do appreciate that. But over the weekend, I kind of missed something. I missed the return of the Stardust probe. It returned from being in space for 7 years, and the NASA folks collected it. There's great commentary over at 2020hindsight.org. I have the link up in the show notes, and as always, you can send comments about the show. And I'm sure there's going to be some comments tonight to 619-342-7365. We got audio comments to play at the end of the show along with some promos. And thanks for those, by the way. Also, hey, what I've got? I got a posting from Mark Cuban that talks about, hey, baby bells and cable, we need multiple tiers of service. And this is essentially an article about how the demand for bandwidth is outpacing the bandwidth that is being allocated to us or allowed or we're allowed to buy from internet service providers. Excuse me. And he's projecting that there's going to be bandwidth traffic jams where people aren't going to have enough bandwidth because of this growing demand, and that the service providers have not been real responsive. And I agree. Here in Hawaii, the cable modem service that I'm on right now has essentially been the same for the last 7 years. Hasn't increased. Now, I don't have DSL available in my neighborhood, but I'm going to talk about something that's going on in that space that might help us in these communities where we're all living close to one another, here in an article in a little bit. But good write-up by Mark. Check this out over on his website, blogmaverick.com. Jeff Jarvis at Buzz Machine, at buzzmachine.com, talks about his experience running ads on his blog, and the positive negatives, doesn't go into real details, but he does talk about what's been real beneficial to him, what's worked well. One of those is a service called Blog Ads, which I was familiar with but have not run any. So blogads.com has been good to him. He's actually obviously got a very high-profile blog, probably pretty high traffic, but good commentary. So if you're interested in monetizing your blog a little bit and wanted to know what ads to run on your website, check out buzzmachine.com. Link will be in the show notes. Now, while I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, I was kind of on this search for cool devices, and I really didn't find a lot. But one that I did find, which was actually highlighted today on Engadget, is the Toshiba Gigabit. It's actually Gigabit S Portable Media Center, and it has a 2.4-inch LCD screen. It's going to be a new device that's going to be coming out, but I did get to play with a prototype at the Consumer Electronics Show. And it's going to be selling for $299 for a 30-gig version and $399 for a 60-gig version. Basically, Windows Media Center built onto a little handheld where you're going to be able to do videos, music, all kinds of cool stuff. So for those of you that are not big iPod fans, make sure you check out the Toshiba Gigabit S Portable Media Center when it comes out. We'll keep you informed. And for those of you that are Windows-centric and have a media center, this would be a very good compliment to what you have. Received an email from a listener that I had not responded to from about 10 days ago, asking me, hey, Todd, what is a good external hard drive? And, you know, there's so many on the market. I really had a hard time thinking about what to endorse. And tonight I found a link on Gizmodo talking about Seagate's new SuperDrive. It's a 160 gig drive that's the size of it's a laptop drive. And it's a real small form factor, comes with a case, and it uses USB 2.0. And I tell you what, I had gotten a 60 gig external hard drive that ran a FireWire out of Japan, and I had never seen nothing as small before, but this one is really, really close, and looks like a good buy, and it looks like a good device with a lot of hard drive space. So it's available online now, and you can buy an external case for it via Seagate. So we'll link that up in the show notes, obviously. So let me know what you think about that. All right. Also, there was an article talking about Vista. For those of you that are running the Vista beta, would you believe Microsoft has already released its first security patch? You know, so much for that new operating system being secure. They've already had to patch it, and they're not even out of beta yet. So what's up with that? But anyway, you guys can check that out. If you're running the December community technology preview or the interim test build, make sure you get the patch when those released, or you could be a setting duck for one of those viruses or spyware issues out there. Over on O'Malik's blog, he's got recommendations on three new Mac apps, and I have actually downloaded two of these and tried them. One is called BlogLite. It's a desktop tool that lets you make searches on blog search engines. So it's pretty cool. You can search Feedster, Technorati, Ice Rocket, and Google Blog Search. It's fast and accurate. You can download a trial version, and it costs $13.95. Second one that he's got listed is Where's the Free Space? It's a nifty little disk utility that helps you find hidden storage space on your hard drive. I tried that out as well. He's got a promo code for this, too, if you get ready to register it. And the third one, which I did not try, was Blazor. It's a free blogging tool, Blazor. It works on all three major operating systems. And he says it's not real pretty, but it does a great job with the majority of the blogging tools that are out there. So check that out at O'Malk's blog. I'll have that listed up in the show notes, obviously. Hey, there's a new project out there. It's called Anonymity on a Disk. And it was for you that are really interested in privacy. They've got a boot disk now that runs on Unix, which you can, it's called a live CD. So essentially, you can really protect yourself. It's got a bunch of tools to protect where you're surfing, all kinds of crazy stuff. And you don't actually have to run it off a hard drive. You just run it off a CD. They say it can be a little slow on the surfing because of the technology they use, but it's definitely an app, a tool that you can use to cover your tracks. And it's going to probably move towards a USB stick at some point, but right now it's on a CD, and you can check this out. It's a Wired article, and I'll have a list in the show notes. You guys remember me talking last week about a blog that was getting ready to be put up for sale? The blog is actually the Blog Herald, and my partner, one of my partners over at Raw Voice, a matter of fact, we put something up on Raw Voice, so I'll talk about that in a minute. One of my partners at Raw Voice, him and I sent a message out to Jeremy, said that we were interested in bidding on the blog, and we didn't know which one it was, but they announced it today publicly. But the Blog Herald is now got bids up to $75,000, a little higher, a little richer blood than what I would ever be able to pay, obviously. But I'm wondering, with revenues projected between $1,000 and $2,000 a month on that site, with the current author, you know, $75,000 for a bid? Are they, you know, 3 years to maybe recoup your money? I don't know about that. You know, I really, really don't if it's worth that kind of cash. But hopefully the person that ends up buying it is does well with it and will continue to publish in its vein and have as good articles. All right, let's talk about an announcement I made on Raw Voice today, actually on the rawvoice.com website. I made a post on there. It said podcasters with raw voice and make money. And basically, I put a call to action. And this is kind of a reinitializing initiative. I initially had started with Podcast Connect, but we're rolling in it into a new service we're going to be offering soon. The details are on the website. I'm not giving out a lot of information yet, but if people want information on how they can podcast with us to make money, they can send an email to marketing@rawvoice.com, and we'll send them an info packet when we're ready. A couple weeks away from that site launch, but we're really, really excited about what we've got to offer. We think we understand what podcasters want and need, and we're going to be able to offer some services where they're not going to have to sign their life away, and they're going to be able to keep control of their show. And some more things will become more apparent as time goes on that we think podcasters are important for their particular shows. So we look forward to bringing that service here in the near future. Okay, Mark over at sysinternals.com wrote an article, kind of a follow-up to Rootkits and Commercial Software, discussing not only the Sony kind of review on the Sony stuff, but also the review on what happened with Norton System Works. And if you're looking for more info on that, this is a probably good article to review and check out. And he has kind of talked to some industry experts, and also he talks about the process he went through in talking to Symantec and how they decided voluntarily to immediately patch their applications so that the essentially the NProtect system within Norton System Works would no longer be viewed as a rootkit. So check that out at sysinternals.com. Okay, talked about sharing broadband earlier in the show, and there's a couple of startup companies that are putting together some technology where those that are on DSL or on broadband are going to be able to kind of share their internet connections with a Wi-Fi booster. And it's kind of cool what they've done there. And it's, you know, we've all known, if I had it here, if I had DSL, I'd have DSL and cable together. And there's ways you can optimize so you can use both the connections at the same time. Matter of fact, people have used multiple dial-ups before to kind of optimize before, but this would be using your neighbor's Wi-Fi. If I open up my Wi-Fi connection, I know that there's like 7 of my neighbors that I can see. 4 are secure, 3 are not. And we essentially could, you know, pool our bandwidth together from our various devices and with this technology. And, you know, for those that aren't using the net very much, you know, the rest of us could get a little boost and it would be shared equally, which would be really, really cool. I really think it would. Power users like me would I'd really love to see this come into play here, and would encourage my neighbors to go around, go on a door-to-door campaign to say, hey, here's what this is. You guys want to hook up and make this happen? And it'd be a challenge, but it would be kind of cool once we did get it set up. Okay, Galileo satellite is producing a signal. And for those of you who are not familiar with what Galileo is, it is the first satellite navigation system free of U.S. control by the European Space Agency. And by 2010, they're going to be launching up to 30 satellites. For those of you that don't know, if you have a GPS receiver today, that signal that it has received is coming from United States-controlled satellites. And in the event of a national emergency, if the president decided so, he could encrypt those signals so that essentially your handheld GPS would be worthless and that only government agencies would be able to receive the signals. Now, that concerned a lot of countries in the world, so they've formed kind of a coalition to support this Galileo satellite system, which will be free, obviously, of U.S. control. Now, I wonder if it's really going to, if it's controlled by the European Union, and let's say they have problems with China, who is one of the signees to this, are they going to, would they block that? Would China get cut off? I almost bet they would. What do you guys think? Do you think they're just going to put up a satellite system to let anyone run on that? You know, think of the security issues there. Let's think, you know, think of what's going on in Iran right now. And them using satellite or using GPS technology against us in their own makes you wonder, doesn't it? We'll have to keep our ears and eyes peeled on this and see what happens. Found an article today on Yahoo News. It talks about search engines going far beyond maps, and it's a privacy issue article where people are becoming concerned now that the satellite images that are being created by these mapping programs are so good that people's privacy is going to be invaded. And what it turns out is Microsoft is starting to offer some detailed images that are being created by airplanes that are flying over major metropolitan areas, mapping cities, and they're tying that to a mapping product, or you got like the A9 product where people, they're driving trucks down streets and taking pictures of cities, providing these virtual, you know, essentially you're at some point you're going to have these virtual maps where you're going to be able to go almost anywhere, you know, with a mapping program. And privacy advocates are concerned that this could start to invade the privacy of individuals, could threaten people, you know, particularly women in shelters, where if the data becomes enough real time, you're going to be able to see parked vehicles. People are going to be able to track people down. I don't think it's going to get to that point. Most of this content is really, really old. So as from a perspective of being able to invade someone's privacy on a real-time basis, I don't know if that's going to be effective. Now, obviously, if you're laying out in the backyard sunbathing in your birthday suit, then obviously if they're taking a picture at the same time, you might be concerned about your privacy. But, you know, it's no different than probably what's been available on a commercial market for a long time. It's just become more accessible to the public. Okay, DVD John has set his sights on AACS, and some of you may say, what is AACS? Well, first we need to review what DVD John did. Remember DVD John, he was the one that broke the encryption on CSS on DVDs by creating a program called DECSS. And now he's focused his sights on AACS, and this is going to be encryption or DRM that's going to be included on HD DVD and on Blu-ray DVD disc. And even though the AACS specification has not been finalized, even though HD DVD players are slated to ship soon, and that Sony is planning to include Blu-ray disc in the PS3 with this content control specification of AACS, you know, there could be some concern for consumers out there not being able to access, you know, down the road being able to access DVDs. So he's saying it's a more fair use issue, and of course with AACS being a control method in order to, you know, how many times you guys had a DVD and you tried to fast forward and it wouldn't let you during a preview or something? You know, that's some of the restrictions that DRM or CSS and AACS do. You know, that's all about the movie industry being able to control the content. So, you know, their claims about it being allowing a superior viewing experience, and it's all about them controlling what you're going to view with your media that you bought. So it's nice to see that he's going to, you know, take on AACS. Now, although he's living in the United States, that could be proved to be an interesting challenge on his part to stay out of the reach of law enforcement. Okay, there's a Windows Wi-Fi vulnerability out, and this is where the power went off last time. So let's hope the power stays on through the end of the show. But there's a new vulnerability out there. So if you're using Wi-Fi in an open mode, it's in a security vulnerability that's also for XP and Windows 2000. So check this out, and you'll want to be careful out there, especially if you have shares on your computers enabled when you're on open networks. But, you know, the security issues keep marching on. We've heard about these camera dealers in the Bronx and different places within New York who've come under intense scrutiny. There's a good two-page article on news.com that talks about some of this and some of the gray market that's been practices that are going on with some of these vendors. Lots of links out to different sites. So if you're looking to buy a camera, you may want to read this this article first before you go buying through a discount broker for camera gear. Remember, if the price is too good to be true, it probably is. All right, take a little swig of iced tea. Attacks are mounting on the $1 million homepage. If you remember, we talked about this kid. He's sold a million pixels and become a millionaire for doing it and doing ads on these pixels. Well, apparently the hackers are not real happy, and his site's been underneath a serious denial of service attack. So good luck to him on recovering on that. Okay, Firefox for Intel Macs are planned for March. So those of you that are going to be getting the Intel-based Macs or the MacBooks, you're going to be able to have a Firefox browser for that in March. So you'll be able to move into a more superior browsing application. Okay, Microsoft is also demoing its advertising lab. It's had some people and took a look at it. So it looks like they're getting real close to launching what's called Ad Center. It's going to be a direct competitor to Google AdSense. So keep an eye on that. We'll be curious to see what they come up with. But they're really going to have it slated. They're going to have, it looks like, a various, how do you want to call it, advertising prototypes. So they're going to have different type of advertising methods for whatever your content is. If you're doing video, audio, different types of websites. So there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff that you're going to be able to do. Looks like a much wider offering of advertising techniques and types with the Microsoft project. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, for those of you that waiting for the Intel Macs, there's a Apple has hidden a message to hackers, essentially saying don't steal Mac OS X. But within a file on one of its files within the operating system, there's a string that says the purpose of Apple software is to protect Apple copyrighted materials from authorized copying and use. You may not copy, modify, reverse engineer, public display, publicly perform, sublicense, transfer, redistribute this file in whole or in part. If you have obtained a copy of Apple software and do not have a valid license from Apple computer to use it, please immediately destroy or delete it from your computer. And what's interesting about this is this is only on version that's running the OS X86 series. This was not on any of the previous versions. So, is Apple going to go after you if you try to run a different application on the box? Well, we will see, won't we? All right, there's a cool article on TechDirt talking about, can we please clean the dead sites out of the search engines? How many times have you done a web search and went to a website that hasn't been updated since like 1995? It happens every once in a while. It'd be nice to clean out some of those. Just take those sites out of the search engine results. Or, you know, just, you know, if they're not being updated and maintained, and I don't know, how do you determine if it's relevant or not? You know, some of the material would be relevant, historical-wise. But it'd be nice to have a search engine. So maybe we shouldn't strip them, but maybe we should have an option to say only 2006 and above published articles. Give us a way to do that. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Sadly here, it's looks like that the Sony BMG rootkit vulnerability is still pretty widespread. Researchers over the weekend say that at least 350,000 networks still have machines that are reporting the vulnerability. In other words, there's traffic still going back to Sony with the telltale headers that this rootkit does. So that's down from 568,000 in November, but it just tells you how many machines out there are still infected and will likely have other applications running on there that the owners don't necessarily want. So make sure you're telling your family members and everything to check for the rootkit, okay? All right, the RIAA has shifted the debate to make the broadcast flag seem more palatable. And what they're going after now is the National Association of Broadcasters over their HD radio. And that's high-definition radio. They desperately want them to encrypt that signal so people are not going to be copying music that comes down over essentially digital quality over HD radio. Now, I don't buy it. The quality's still not going to be as high as ripping a CD or sneaker netting material. But they're changing their tactic and trying to get the National Association of Broadcasters to encrypt this, and it's part of their way to kind of get their inch their way in and make sure that even though the broadcast flag has been knocked down, that they use undue pressure to cause organizations like that to make changes to their signal. All right, the New Horizons is ready for launch, and for those of you that are not familiar with it, but the NASA New Horizons satellite is going to be going out to Pluto, and it's scheduled to launch on Tuesday. So at 18:24 GMT or 1:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it's the two-hour launch window, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for that launch today. All right, Boing Boing has a link to a very, very cool IMAX movie that's coming out on January 27th. It's going to be a Mars mission. It's Mars mission, Mars rover mission, where they're going to be using real captured pictures from those robots that are out there still working on Mars, the two rovers, and a little bit of animated stuff. But the preview on this sounds to be pretty awesome. Now, we've got an IMAX theater here in Hawaii. I'm definitely going to check this out on January 27th. So a link to the Boing Boing article is in the show notes. Now, you heard me talk before about how the Academy members, those that do the Academy Awards, are given DVDs for review purposes to try to determine who's going to be who's going to get a nominated for award, or who's actually going to get this part of the voting process that they use. And they've been doing all kinds of encryption to make sure that these DVDs don't get shared. And they put things on the videos like, this copy is protected, this copy is property of Warner Brothers, loaned for award consideration only. And they're putting all kinds of codes in there. Well, it appears that these, all these Academy naysayers who are so hardcore into DRM have been ripping these things and are still sharing them on the peer-to-peer networks. And it's just hilarious because they have, they've really cracked down on this. And in 2003, actually didn't send out any disc because of all of the pirating that was going on. So I'll let you guys check this article out over on Boing Boing, but it's pretty funny to see a lot of this going on. But what's even more interesting is that they're able to actually tell who's doing it. So they're not even deterred from doing anything. All right, I've got some audio comments I want to play. I do want to go over some email. Let me play the audio comment first. Do have some parting words at the end here. So if you could hang out, that'd be great. But let's play these audio comments.
Hey, Todd, this is Rich. I'm in California right now on business, but I'm heading back to my hometown of Maryland. And I saw that you had something up there. You were looking for someone in the Delaware area, which is not too far from me. So, anyway, give me a call when you get a chance, and we can talk about it to see if it's something I could do for you. My phone number...
Hey, Rich, I've gotten two or three responses. I'll add you to the list. People that are willing to help Catherine out. She's got her gear ordered. Should be here later in the week. So I'll be making plans and reaching out to those that have said that they're willing to help her get her gear set up. And but thanks for giving that shout out. And if I need you, I'll definitely be calling you. So thanks on that.
Hi, Todd. It's Tom calling from Chicago. Hey, listen, it's good to have you back. I got a question. I was just listening to the show today. And you were talking about iTunes and how they had that kind of spy deal, which was linking up with, to sell some art based on what you're listening to. Well, I just downloaded the Windows Media Player, I think version 10, and I think that does the same thing. And I don't know how to turn that off. I kind of wish I could just get back to my version 8 or 9, whatever I was on. I just wanted to know if you had any comments on that. So it's weird because what I'll do is I will actually go, if I play your podcast through the Windows Media Player and I click on your icon, it goes directly to this goofy Napster type thing. It pulls up links or music that has the same name as yours or something. So anyway, I just wanted to find out what you thought about that. That's a little bit different than what the iTunes thing is. But help, how do I turn it off? All right, Todd, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we need to find out about that, don't we? That's not cool. If they're doing that as well, we need to call them to the carpet. But, there's a lot of applications I think they're calling home that we don't know about. I really do. I think there's a lot of, look at how many times your firewall asks you, application loads, and then you can tell it's trying to call home and ask, and asking permission to do so via your firewall. So, it'd be nice to have to find a comprehensive list of all the applications that are doing that and the type of data that they're sending back. So if someone has a resource on that, why don't you drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com, or if you have comments on the Windows Media Player, if it's doing, you know, on Windows Media Player 10, how we can get that to stop, and if it's actually doing that as well, doing that functionality where it's calling back to Microsoft and getting info. Incidentally, I got another audio comment from the same guy. I do want to play it, though, so here, check this out.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago again. Just want to let you know, I was just listening to the program from Friday, and the audio from the show floor at the CES wasn't too bad. I mean, I've actually worked quite a few trade shows, and you're right, it is loud. But I wanted to comment on the guy that grabbed the microphone from your mouth. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world because I could not understand a word what he was saying, and I appreciate you summarizing what the product line he had, but I couldn't believe it. It felt like he was shouting in my ear, and I can't imagine what you were doing at that point as he grabbed your microphone away from you as you're going, oh, no, this is not right. Please give me the microphone back. But anyway, the gentleman was obviously passionate about what he was selling, and I don't remember what he sold. So, but I just want to comment, wasn't that bad? People calling you in and giving you a hard time, it wasn't that bad, so... It was enjoyable to listen to it. It's good to have you back in Hawaii. It is cold here in Chicago, so send some warm weather our way. Okay, Todd, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that. And you know that guy that did grab my microphone, there was no press on the floor at the Consumer Electronics Show. These guys were starved for attention. They really, really were. You know, they saw us walking around with a microphone. It was like I had a guy chase me. He chased me down the hallway, begging me to interview him. And, quite honestly, what he was selling was, or what his booth was just, there was nothing innovative and nothing I really wanted to talk about in there. But, I gave him I did a little interview with him and he was pretty happy. But, there's a lot of opportunity out there for someone to really, reach out to some of these people. Some of these companies can reach out and help themselves. They really can if they would just get on the podcasting bandwagon and reach their audience that way. Okay, we're running long here on time yet. Got a couple things I want to do. Hey, I got a cool music song for you at the end. You got to hang out for that. Some Hawaiian music. You're going to only hear it here. This is the only place you're going to hear this song or a series of songs. So let me play up a promo here from Lance Heath, the Digital Experience Podcast. I got a couple other things to cover, and then I'm going to play that cool music for you. Here we go.
Hi, this is Lance Heath of the Digital Experience Podcast, and I'm here to tell you it's not too late to get into the big giveaway contest I'm holding. Starting with show 100, I've given a clue word away, which at the end will form a phrase that you need to enter the contest. When all the clues are given out, head on over to the site to enter the phrase into the entry form. You have to keep listening, though, to hear what the clues are. Listeners have the chance to win an iPod Nano, a nice PED 2 iPod stand from ThoughtOut.biz, and a couple of very nice, very protective cases from OtterBox.com. So head on over to my site at www.digitalexperiencepodcast.com or find me in iTunes and subscribe to the Digital Experience Podcast today to make sure you don't miss out on your chance to win great prizes. That's www.digitalexperiencepodcast.com.
Thanks, Lance. Hey, I got some very important listener email tonight, and the first one is from Daryl. Daryl is visually impaired, and he's been going out and asking Google to make its visual word verification accessible. And there's some issues with what's on the Google website and visually impaired people being able to access it. And he's sending out a press release tomorrow on the petition that he has going around. And I really want you all that if you're interested in supporting visually impaired people, making sure that they're able to access stuff on the internet, I want you to support Daryl and his initiative here. I think this is very important. Make sure you get over there. I'll put a link in the show notes to the actual petition itself. If you agree with it, you can sign it. I got a email from Stuart that talks about Firefox myths. Pretty cool little site. Talks about some myths that people say about Firefox, and he was basically send that to me on purpose to take a look at that, comparison to Internet Explorer and other browsers. So a pretty good read on that site. Put that up in the website as well. And also I got some suggestions from Curtis. If we do any more live interviews on some gear changes, hey, I want to thank you for that, Curtis. Great suggestions. And it'll go in my my permanent keeper case, but primarily said go into a, instead of using a lav mic like I was, go to a headset with a boom mic that has better isolation, and of course use a dynamic mic versus a condenser. And I'll tell you why I was using a condenser, Curtis, is this Marantz PMD660 is has a real high noise floor when using it with the dynamic mic I had. So it was kind of a trade-off, and I understand it's more, you know, the difference in between using a dynamic and a condenser in that type of environment. But I was kind of forced to, hopefully with this new Marantz PMD660 that's being sent out to me to look at, I'll be able to make some new recommendations on that box. Okay, also, I got a question from someone saying, hey, I've had some problems playing your last couple of shows, primarily some ones from CES. And just remember, we were encoding a couple of shows on some computers that I was not used to using or had different software build. And so you may have some problems with the sample rate. So we should be back on track from the last show, and I do appreciate that. Okay, I got an email from Scott, who's getting ready to start a podcast. Hey, Scott. Do not play any RIAA controlled music in your show. Even if it's in a mixed format, if you're playing splices, you just open yourself up. And you're in Canada. They have some crazy, rules up there right now. You need to really get on top of that and, make sure that you protect yourself. Okay. I'd hate to have you go out there and create a podcast like Coverville or some of these other, podcasts out there and using music that is, controlled ASCAP BMI. You know, go ahead and drop an email to the creator of Coverville and ask him what he thinks. I know he did some licensing things, but you got to be very careful, okay? And especially in Canada, in some respects, they're more strict than they are in the United States. So to watch that. All right, I've got some more emails, but really, really out of time here. And I want to thank all the additional comments that people sent in. Chris, thank you for yours. Those were great comments from CES. Thanks for Todd and Renee and Tom and Michael. Everyone sent some great stuff in. I do appreciate it. We'll get to it on a later show, but I truly am out of time here. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in to this edition of the Geek News Central podcast. As always, you can send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Or you can Skype me on Geek News Central. I'll be back again, obviously, on Friday. Hey, but I'm leaving you with, there's going to be two links in the show notes. As a matter of fact, I want to apologize. On our last show, I didn't put the link up to the Pen Machines website. I'll get those up in the show notes tonight from the last one. But tonight, I'm going to play a track out of a new CD that's brand new on the street. You're only going to hear it here. It's from Bruce Shimabukuro and the BS Band. Now, what's special about this is my wife has a cousin, his name is Jody Kamasato, and he is a bass player in the band with Bruce, and they've created their very first CD, and I've got some tracks on here that I've been authorized to play, and I'm going to have the links up to his website on where you can buy this. This is the same guys that all of you have been asking me for a long time, where can I get this music at, okay? So now you can buy it. You can put your money where your mouth is. $18 for the CD. Get online and buy it. Now, also, if you're looking for instructional stuff on the ukulele, there's a DVD set that's available, too. So I'll put the link up to both. You guys enjoy this track. I'll be playing some out of some more tracks in future shows. But the very first song here on the track is called Cognito Town. I think you'll enjoy it. Now, there's two on this I can't play. One's called Pipeline, and one is Miserloo. These are licensed ones that I'm not authorized, but we can play the other, looks like other 9 tracks that are in here, and we'll get these out. But here's this, kick you out of here. It'll be about 57 minutes when we're done, and but enjoy a little Hawaiian ukulele music. It's a little mix. I think you'll enjoy it. We'll be right back. what, folks? The power stayed on. We're going to hit it save right now. Get this out on the street. Aloha. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.